Okay. Morning, everybody. Hope everyone has an easy fast today. It's some Gedalia. Already the, what is today? Today's the fourth day of Tishrei already. Wow. Okay.
It's fourth day.
Yeah.
No coffee today.
No.
Don't wait.
No. All right. We are on Chav Chas Amud Beis. Today's daf is daf Chav Tes in Avodah Zarah. And we're going to do a little more medicine today. So just for a good part of today, I will have very little clue as to what I'm talking about, which it's not. I'm not that far off from that, but you know, even less today. And then we'll start the new Mishnah and the new big sugya. Oh, good. I need a cardiologist today. Okay, not me personally. I mean, wait. There's more coming today, and you'll see. I really need you. So. We're in the middle of the Amud. We're starting with the words Amar Rabba Bar Zutra, Amar Rav Chanina. It is right in the middle of the page. The first word in the line is Velikle, and it's the last three words of the line. Halfway down, halfway up. Amar Rabba Bar Zutra, Amar Rav Chanina, Malin Aznayim B'Shabbos. You can raise the ears on Shabbos. Now, there's some sort of dislocation of the ears. I don't fully follow this, obviously. The ears are cartilage, so I'm not sure if the what part of the ear fell, that the ear needs to be raised. Whatever the case is, again, I'm not your medical go-to guy, so please don't look to me for this. If you want, by the way, just in terms of references of where you can go to see more about this types of discussion, if you're interested. So Fred Rosner, Dr. Rosner, is a noted author on all this discussion, and very often I listen to his son Shalom Rosner, Rabbi Rosner, who now lives in Eretz Yisrael, gives a daf, a superb daf online, and you can hear it online, and it's just excellent. So his father is the author of many of these types of books, and he really is an authority, an absolute authority on these types of things.
Well, what is he saying? What is his idea?
So he wrote books on this. He's a very, very well respected author. He teaches in Einstein Medical School.
He's validating all this stuff or not? I say that these are things that
you gotta read
something to it, or you gotta, just like
I did not read. I did not go through his works, but yes, he's obviously he's a supporter. He's a defender. So take a look. Look online. Very, very, very well established author. So Malan Aznayim B'Shabbos. So you can raise the ears on Shabbos. Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Biyad Avalo B'Sam. So there are going to be two versions of this. So the first version says you could do it with your hand, manipulation with the hand, but not with medicine. According to the first version, Rashi explains, according to the first version, since it can be done with the hand, so therefore you should not manipulate with medicine. Medicine on Shabbos is rabbinically prohibited. And if there's another way to therapeutically cure the individual, so you should do so. Then there's a second version, which is with some but not with your hand. According to the second version, why? Why with the medicine and not with your hand? So the Gemara gives the reason, my time a Mizraf Zarf. The way Rashi explains it, it goes like this. When you manipulate with your hand, so you are making a chabura. You're going to be making a wound. And if you do it with medicine, you will not be making a wound. And so according to Rashi, it basically goes like this. Here are my options. I can violate the rabbinic prohibition of using medicine, which is only a rabbinic prohibition. Or if I manipulate with my hand, I'm going to be creating a chabura. A chabura is a biblical violation. So given the choices, the medicine is better with the hand. That is how the second version works according to Rashi. Next. Amar Rav Zusha Bar Tuvi, Amar Rav Ein Shem Marda. If you have an eye that rebelled, right? We're talking now about some sort of inflammation in the eye, where the eye is about to explode. It's painful. It's beyond painful. It's just don't even want to think about it. But muta lekochel b'shabbos, you can put some sort of ointment on the eye. Apply some sort of ointment to the eye on Shabbos. Now savar minei hanimilihu deshachi simanim esmon of the Gemara originally thinks that means that it was ground up before Shabbos, so there's no biblical violation over here. It's just a treatment of the eye, which is a rabbinic prohibition of using medicine on Shabbos, but not the biblical prohibition of schikas temamanim, grinding up the herbs, avamisachik b'shabes v'asuyi derech Rishos HaRabim, lo, but to grind it up and to walk in Rishos HaRabim, no. Amalei ha'humei Rabban Rabbi Yaakov Shmeli didim refarshim minei de Rav Yehuda, afilu mishchak b'shabes v'asuyi derech Rishos HaRabim mutter. Even to grind it up on Shabbos and to walk through Rishos HaRabim is going to be acceptable. Rav Yehuda shari lemichal ena b'Shabbos. He allows that to be done on Shabbos. Okay. Now, what we're going to be discussing now, it's an interesting discussion, and this is why I need my cardiologist over here right now, is that, remember what we said yesterday, that it has to be, in order to be mechal Shabbos, it has to be a sakana, it has to be a critical care. It has to be something where, if you do not attend to it, your life is in jeopardy. And so what we're going to have to explain is, how is it that tending to the eye is critical care? Now, I can't imagine, and this is where the conversation gets a little weird. Meaning, you're lost of vision if it wasn't critical, right? In other words, if we could just imagine for a moment that you could lose your eyesight but not lose your life, so that's not considered sakanas nefesh. Now that's what it seems from Rashi, meaning, right, again, just a clinical discussion, leaving any emotion out of this discussion, that's what it seems from Rashi. Rashi makes it sound like, where's the Rashi? I'm sorry, give me a moment. Right. Avam mischak v'yisui derech rishos rabim lo. Four lines down in Rashi, as the lines get wide. Delav sekanas nefashos elas sekanas ivrin. Right? Rashi writes it pretty clearly that if all you're doing is just losing your eyesight but you don't have loss of life, so that's a kind of snafish. And so therefore that's not something you would treat on Shabbos. Okay, again, this is just in the Havamina, but you understand it's a strange discussion, but it's logical that if all you're going to do is just lose your eyesight but not lose your life, so the Gemara says, so then it's not something you can treat on Shabbos.
Where is this idea that Sakanas Aver?
What's
the source of it? We always assume
it's
limb.
Right.
And eyes, I mean, you're at the point now in the Havamina that teeth, you could be Michal Shabbos.
But eyesight, no. Correct. Correct. Right?
Do you remember where that comes from?
I understand what you're asking. But no. So Amalahu Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, I'm sorry. So Rav Yehuda's point of correction is no. Loss of eyesight is loss of life. Oh, so now that they're equatable, and we'll we have to explain the equation in just a moment. And Hedy, you may help me over here; otherwise, I'm lost. But they're equatable, and because of that, the Gemara says so. Therefore, you can tend to the eye, even if it involves Chil Shabbos. So I'm a little Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Man Sais LeYehuda Machil Shabbos. So Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, I don't know this to be true, but sounds like Rav Yehuda's son, but it could be just somebody else whose father's name happens to also be Yehuda. But he says something which is, you know, sounds harsh. If somebody listens to Rav Yehuda, he'll be Mechal Shabbos. Meaning it's ridiculous. If somebody has an eye ailment on Shabbos and your eye's about to explode, so the position of Shmuel Bar Yehuda is, don't listen to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, treat it on Shabbos, be mechal Shabbos. No, don't listen. Okay. L'sof chashmeinei. Now, of course, you know, when you make statements like that, bold statements like that, so these kinds of things happen. So Shmuel Bar Yehuda had this with his eye. Right? He had an inflammation of the eye.
Himself.
Shalach le shari aser. So he sends a letter to Rav Yehuda. Well, what do I do now? So Shalach Lei, and the response was L'chulei Amishare L'zitcha Aser. So to everybody else, it's fine. Meaning, as I've been saying now, I've been very consistent about this. To everyone else, it's fine, but not to you. Now, the V'chi Medidihu, and Rav Yehuda goes on further, and he says, "Look, when I said it was okay, I wasn't espousing my own personal opinion. The Marshmuli. This is something that I received from Shmuel." And as we pointed out many times, Shmuel himself was a doctor, and Shmuel felt that treatment of the eye is life-threatening. If you don't treat the eye, it's life threatening. There was a woman who was living during the time of Shmuel. She had an inflammation of the eye. Tzavcha, she was screaming, and no one listened to her. Paka einai. Lamachar nafak marshmuel v'darish. I'm sorry. Dashka chvei paka einai, and her eye exploded. Okay, so and Shmuel felt that this was critical care. Therefore, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. Lamachar nafak marshmuel v'darish ein shemarda mutal kol b'Shabbos. So Rav Yehuda says, this is not me. This is my Rebbe Shmuel, who says that this is something that you can attend to on Shabbos, even violation of Chil Shabbos. My Taima. Now listen carefully. The Sharina de Ene Buvnasa de Liba Talo. So the Gemara says that the eye is connected to the heart. Okay. Now the way Rashi explains this, let's go step by step. The way Rashi explains this, is it Rashi here? It may not be. No. No, it's not Rashi here, but it doesn't matter. Take a look at Tosos. Okay. Right? Rashi, Tosos is citing Rashi, and I don't know where the Rashi is that he's citing, but it doesn't matter. Okay, doesn't matter. Perish HaKunshus is the first Tosos on the page. Perish HaKunshus, Me'or Ha'ayin Taloi B'Tafashe Deliba. So there is some sort of, the way Rashi explains it, some sort of physical connection between the eyes and the heart. Okay? Rashi doesn't explain any more than that. It's a muscle. I don't know. Okay, that's how Rashi explains it. So I ask you, Dr. Zaki, is there any physical connection between the eye and the heart?
It's only indirect. I mean, the only condition that the eye could affect the heart is if the pressure inside the eye is very high, then you can get a slow heartbeat as a reflex on the nerve.
Right.
So it's like the nerves will come.
Right. So yeah, Dr. Galbert said something very similar to what you said.
Yeah.
Right.
You can get bradycardia or slow heart rate.
Okay.
If the heart is not in good condition, that's not good for it.
Okay. Fine. Okay. So it's a very, very good explanation of Rashi. The lead nira, and Tosfos says, I'd like to offer another pshat. Be'uvnisa deliba talu, klamar iyasa anayim talu b'havanas alev. So I don't think heart over here, says Tosfos, I don't think it means the physical heart. Heart over here, the Gemara is using in terms of havana, meaning understanding. And then he goes on and he explains to you how he gets to this formulation. Shoyina b'shin, kamo ashiruna v'lokarov. Inami Surina Basamach Mlashan Sarinachsei Beuvnisa Lashon Havanika Damina Bemerkava Beuvnisa Deliba Havechaze. Okay, the dictionary that Tosus uses over here, but the basic idea of Tosfos is that if you lose your eyesight, you lose your ability to understand. And that's interesting because now what Tosus is arguing is that's critical care. If you are losing some of your mental ability, your cognitive ability, that's critical care, and that you can tend to on Shabbos. It sounds like from Tosus, and again, I'm not going anywhere halachically with this. You speak to your local, your local posek. But it sounds like from Tosus that if there's a diminishment of understanding, right, if somehow you're about to lose some of your cognitive ability, and there was some medical care that could treat it or prevent it from loss. So it sounds like from Tosfos, that's something that you can tend to, and that you can you can treat on Shabbos. And if you lose your eyesight, and that takes away your cognitive ability, and that for sure does. Meaning, once you lose your eyesight and your ability to see, you lose understanding and ability to think and process. So that's something that you can save on Shabbos, and that's considered critical care. And that's it's from Tosfos. That's what it sounds like the Gemara is saying. Okay.
Even if not involving cognitive impairment, just by somebody being blind and not being able to see, is going to be in danger. Crossing the street or whatever.
In the setup of the Gemara, it does sound like, in the Havamin, it sounds like that's not enough. It's not enough.
Future danger is not enough?
It sounds that way. I understand exactly what you're saying, but it sounds that way from the way the Gemara is being set up. Okay. Anyway, certainly the bottom line of the Gemara is it's critical care. You treat on Shabbos, even if it includes Chil Shabbos. Okay. Back to the Gemara. We're five lines from the bottom of the page.
Is that the bottom line, by the way? I mean, the ophthalmologists can
Yes. Yes, they can practice. They can
carry the deep on Shabbos, right?
Again, that's well beyond my kigon. My I'm Rabbi Yehuda kigon, and the Gemara now is going to explain with different types of inflammations of the eye. Rira, if your eye is expressing too much mucus, too much pus. Ditsa,
stabbing pain.
Right, you have some sort of sharp pain of the eye. Dam of the eye is red. Dimasta, if there's tearing too much. Kidcha, if there's an inflammation. Tichlas uchla la fukesuf uchla. It has to be the onset of these symptoms. If, however, you already treated the eye, and all your experience on Shabbos is just a little bit of residual, but the eye's been treated already, that, the Gemara says, you cannot treat on Shabbos, because essentially it's cured, just some residual pain. That's, the Gemara says that you shouldn't treat on Shabbos. Upitzucha ena delo. Okay, fine. Amar Rav Yehuda Zibora. Now, here we go again. We're going to go well back into our remedies on Shabbos. Okay, pay close attention. Right, God help me get through this little bit of Gemara. Am Rav Yehuda Zibora udecharazia silu v'samto dekarvle ena v'asi lave ishta kulu be'bane sakanta. Gemara gives us a list of things where don't take a hot bath. Taking a hot bath are bad for a bee bite, a thorn, right, getting stabbed with a thorn, simta, blister, if you have an eye inflammation, okay, a fever, all those things a hot bath is bad for. Okay. Chama. Chama over here is radish, right?
Right.
It's good for a fever. Silka letzina, beets are good for a chill, if you're experiencing a chill. Chilufa sakanta, but don't mix that one up. Okay, it's dangerous if you do. Chamima la'akrava, hot water is great for a scorpion bite. Krira lizibora, cold water is great for a hornet bite. V'chilufa sakanta, and don't mix that up. Chamima lesilu, ukrira lichaspanisa, hot water is great for
thorn,
stabbing of the thorn. And cold water is great if you have, Rashi explains, cracks of the face. Okay, v'chilufa sakanta, but again, don't mix those up. Chala lisibura, vinegar is great for bloodletting. And munina latanisa, mint is fantastic for fasting, right? Oh, small fish. Oh, I'm sorry, the mint is coming up later.
After the fast.
Yeah. Okay, fish is great for after the fast, right? That's the minhag of Yisrael is to eat lox, right? Break fast on lox and bagel. The Gemara supports that. Chilufa sakanta, but don't mix those up. Tachle, visiburi sakanta. Cress and
before bloodletting.
I'm sorry. Right, like cress before bloodletting is dangerous. Ishte v'sibur sakanta, fever and bloodletting is out of the question. Kaveinu v'sibur sakanta, if you have an eye, if you have a pain in the eye, bloodletting is out of the question. Sheni ledag dam, shlishlo sakanta. Bloodletting the day after you eat fish. Fish the day after you bloodlet, that's fine, but not the third day. Third day is out of the question. Tan Rabbanan, make his dam lo yochal chagbash. Bloodletting. So here are the things that you should not eat after bloodletting. Lo chalav, lo gvina, lo betzam, lo shachlayim. Milk, cheese, onions, shachlayim, cress. No good. Im achal, amar abayin nesu, reviyasa dechal, reviyasa dechamra. Vinir avivnu, behade hadade, vinishte. And if you do, you shouldn't, but if you do, so then put a revius of vinegar, mix it with a revius of wine, mix them together, drink it. Okay, and then apparently this is really gonna, this is like a laxative, an unbelievable laxative. And then you're gonna want to go to the bathroom. Now the Gemara says, be careful about this next part. V'chimefana, when you do go to the bathroom, lo mefana ela lemizrach she'er, go to the east of the city, mishum dekasherecha, because that waste product is going to have a terrible odor. Now Rashi over here points out, and the east is the best place to go, because that's the weakest wind. Rashi, mishum dekasherecha. Devarim halal of aruch meviasam leir hachi garsina lo yifane ella limizracha shel ir. You go to the east part of the city, sheruach mizrachit einu chazaka. That wind is not a strong wind. Kidanan belo yachpor. Remember the second parak of Baba Basra? Einosim borsiki ella mizracha she'ir. Right, one of the zoning laws that we discussed in the second parak of Baba Basra is that when you're making a tannery, which is leather, production of leather, it's a terrible smell. Right, you go into a shoe store, you're just assaulted by that smell, and that's processed leather. Right, the leather has a terrible smell, and so one of the zoning laws mentioned by Baba Basra is that the tannery has to be in the east side of the city. Okay, good. I'm Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Malin unkali b'shabes. My unkali am Rabbi Abba. Istumcha deliba. One more time, Dr. Zagi. So the Gemara here talks about somehow supporting, manipulating a muscle of the heart. Rashi over here offers two pshatim. Istumcha deliba. Rashi says dofne baser shetachas alevihu tir pesha. Right, some sort of muscle below the heart. Sounds like the diaphragm, but I'm not in a position to really say. Rashi offers a second pshat, lishna achrina, tenuch shekneged halev, some sort of lobe or muscle that is opposite the heart, shekarin nivla, upamim shenichfaf litzad penim. Sometimes what happens is it inverts to the inside, umaakev es neshima, and it encroaches on the lung, and it makes it difficult to breathe. And so what the Gemara is saying is that you can manipulate it on Shabbos. Okay, no, okay, good, me too. but your I don't know is a much better than my I don't know. My asusa. So what do you do over here in order to help cure such an ailment? So Maisi, so here's what you're going to do. You're going to bring, and the Gemara is going to give us a list of all different types of spices and herbs. Kamona, kruya, nina, here's the mint, agadna, tzisra, abadita, liliba, bechamra. And now, if you want to take these and mix it together with the heart, I'm sorry, if you want to take them for the heart, so you mix it with wine, right? So wine is good for the heart. Lerucha, if you're having some sort of lung issue, right? So you're, right, perhaps an asthmatic. So bemaya. So if you take these spices that we just mentioned, and I identified only one of them, good luck to the rest of you. So then you mix it with water. You see the connection over here, it's the simon, so that water and ruach. Lekuda, if it's an issue with the childbirth, right, to she holy isha yoledes umitztanenes ala mashpir, she's suffering chill, she's on the birthing stool. So what do you do over here? B'shichra, so for her, beer. Okay, I thought beer was good for the nursing mother, and the Gemara over here saying mixing these spices with beers is good for the laboring mother. The play on words over here is that the word shechma sounds very much like shechar. Okay, it's a simon. Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rava Shachik le'lekula b'hadei adad v'shaka le'malei chamesh etzviasav v'shasi le. The Gemara talks about different ways of putting it together. Different recipes the Gemara now is going to give us. So, Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rava, would grind it up all together and put it together with the liquid. Rav Ashi shaka kocha v'chad l'chudei v'shaka malo etzbo rabasi umalei etzbo zutrase. And Rav Ashi would grind them up not together, but separately, and add them to the liquid separately. Amar Papa ana Abdi l'chol hani v'lo ista'e ad amar le'autaya. I tried this at home, says Rav Papa, and it didn't work. And I needed a little bit of help from my local Arab merchant. Not the first time in the Gemara that we found that the Arab merchant was able to tweak it and help out our help a little bit with the correct application of these types of medicines. I see kuzichato mayamaya, a new jug filled with water, rami bay, tarvada de duvsha, put a spoonful of honey in, de talala be kuchave, that's been standing overnight, ulamach ishtin, next day I drank it, avdehachivi istayin, I did exactly as per the instructions of the taye, and I found it to be totally therapeutic. Thank you, Arab merchant. Six things are really therapeutic and have a refuah, an everlasting refuah, and they are kruv, cabbage, tardin. I ate most of these things on Rosh Hashanah, so which is true. Kruv, radish, tardin, beets, mesisin, yevesha. I don't know. And Rashi tries to help me. Okay, I don't know. The kevas and the stomach of an animal. Ruminating animals have four stomachs. When we get to chulin, we're going to talk about this at length. Keva is a fourth stomach of the animal. Eating of the stomach, the consumption of the stomach, says the Gemara, is very therapeutic. Okay. I ate lamb's head over Rosh Hashanah, but that's not the same.
Wow,
yeah, 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 yeah. I have a sponsor. Rabbi Tershwal knows who my sponsor is. The haras, eating the womb of an animal, the Gemara says, is very therapeutic. The oseris hakaved, and eating the diaphragm of an animal is also very therapeutic. Am I correct that the diaphragm is a skirt steak? Thank you. Okay, confirmation. The Yesh Omrim Af Dagim Ketanim. The Gemara says Dagim Ketanim. Small fish is also an unbelievable therapeutic. So we, the Jewish people, have had custom for hundreds of years of eating herring. And the Gemara says it's good. It is unbelievable for the entire body. Okay. Asar dvarim mutarim machzir nesechol lechalyo v'chalyo kasha. 10 things bring you right back to your sickness. And not only that, but exacerbate the condition and make it worse. And they are Elohein. Ha'ochel basar shor, ox meat, shuman, fatty meat, basar tzli, roasted meat, basar tziparim, bird meat. These are things I also ate over Yontif. So basar tzluya, beitza tzluya, roasted egg, shechlaim, watercress, tiglachas, I don't know. Tiglachas, I do know, is a haircut. Is a haircut. Shaving. A shave is not good for an ill person. Merchat, a bath, gvina, cheese, and kaved, and the liver. By the way, these foods in and of themselves are not bad. It's just that if you are recovering from an illness, these are foods that you should avoid when recovering from an illness. The yeshomim afagosim, some had nuts, the yeshomim afkishum, some had cucumbers, tana debe Rabbi Yishmael, second time we're seeing this in Avodah Zarah, lama nikra shema kishuin, cucumbers are called kishuin, mimei shem kashn lechol gufo shel adam kecharavos, they're like swords to the body. Okay. We differentiated. That's correct. We differentiated earlier on between small and large cucumbers. Okay.
Kishuin are cucumbers. I think it's in modern Hebrew they're squash or something.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Some modern Hebrew.
Right. It's not wrong. It's just so many different subspecies. I don't know if we can claim we know which one's which. Malafaphone is how you order cucumber. In Israel. Oh, great discussion coming up right now. Okay, remember our standard machlokishim, Rav Meir and the Chacham. Rav Meir is always concerned that they're going to want to kill us. And so therefore, it's Choshesh Lemiyuta. And so therefore, according to Rav Meir, getting a haircut is unacceptable from Rav Meir's standpoint, even in public. Right? And the Chachamim say, no, if you're in a public area, if the barber's in a public area, that's fine. Okay, great discussion coming up.
Oh,
so actually, Gamar's going to discuss. Hey, right? Yisrael, I'm stopping. Me'ovikocham robe mariv. Ovikocham stopping. Yisrael came shigil lebluri. So, shomit es yado. Okay, so we're going to go first from a Jew getting a haircut from a ovikochavim. If you look in the mirror, it's fine. Okay, because once you have a mirror there. So if he decides that he wants to kill you, so you'll be able to, get an advanced preview, a sneak preview of that, and, maybe stop him. Okay, in other words, a mirror is an impediment from him wanting to kill you. Let's go the other direction. If you're going to give him a haircut, There's a type of haircut which is an idolatrous haircut. The Gemara calls it a bloris. Bloris is essentially where you shave off all the hair, you cut off all the hair, leaving basically a stick of hair in the back of his head, kind of like what the Chinese do, right? If you watch your kung fu movies. Okay, so the Gemara says, so that you can't do. In other words, you cannot give an idolatrous haircut. So if you're going to be a barber and he asks for it, the Gemara says you cannot. You can cut the hair, but you can't cut down to the bloris.
Right.
Okay. Amar Mar. Now, both of these points the Gemara is going to analyze. Yisrael Mestamber Me'ovikocham Robe Mare Hechidam Iber Shosar Rabban. The Gemara says, wait a second, where are we right now? If when there's Shosar Rabban Lamali Mare, I don't need a mirror because, as we learned in our Mishnah, the Chachamim's opinion, which is the majority position, which we assume the Bryce is going like, is that a mirror, I'm sorry, that a Rishus HaRabim is all you need in order to inhibit him from wanting to kill you. And Iber Shosayachi Kiroa Mayhavi Lola. So, if we're in a private area, so you have a mirror. So you get to watch him kill you? Like, what is that? How's that going to help? So the Gemara says no. When you're in a private area, you're considered now like an Adam Chashav. The Gemara earlier said when you're an Adam Chashav, he will be inhibited from wanting to kill you if you're an Adam Chashav, and putting in a mirror in front of you makes it that you're like an Adam Chashav. Let's just read one more line of Gemara. And I'm going to show you an amazing Tosfos. Rav Chanan bar Bizna have a mistapim of kochavim b'shvila dina harda. Rav Chanan bar Bizna got a haircut from an idolater in the shvila dina harda. Now, Naharda is a city of Shmuel, and he was in an alleyway of Naharda. A shvil is a pathway, so there was traffic over there, but it wasn't a reshus harabim. Okay, I'm a lay. Now here's what the barber says as he's giving the haircut. Chana, chana, ya'i ko'ech lezuge. Your neck looks so desirable to my blade. Meaning he expressed, right, he said it, what he was thinking, and he's thinking, boy, would I love to kill you right now. Amar taisi li de avre adera meir. Now his response was, I deserve it. I deserve it because Rameir says I wasn't supposed to do this, i.e. I wasn't supposed to get a haircut in a private area with an Ove Kochavim, and I skirted with death because I did it. I violated Rav Meir. So the Gemara says,
even in the public domain.
Ah, Rabban lo avre, ema dam Rabban b'shus Rabban b'shus yachem yamar. So the Gemara says, wait a second, why are we back at Rav Meir? Right? Didn't he violate the Chachamim because he was Shvili Dinarada? Shvili Dinarada is not a public domain. So who's Savar Shvili Dinarada? Kevin to Shechir Rabim, Kirishas Rabim Damo. So he thought, we're saying Rishas Rabim over here, that doesn't mean the Shabbos definition of Rishas Rabim. Where I need six, we don't mean that. Rishus HaRabim just simply means there are other people there. As long as there are other people over there, that's enough of an inhibition from him wanting to kill you. So he thought that the Chachamim would have been fine with this, and he kicked himself because Rameir was not fine with it. Okay. Now, show you an amazing Tosos, because Tosos takes us to a place that I somehow think nobody would have ever thought of. Tosos writes the following. I know it's a long Tosos, we're not going to go through all of it. Don't have the time to do so, but watch what Tosfos cites over here. Hamistapar Movikocham Ro Bemare. Tanya Batosefta. Paragimel. Over Yusham de Pirkin. He quotes two sources, two very authoritative sources, a Tosefta and a Gemara Yushami in Avodah Zarah, presumably the second parak. Yisrael Mistapar Movikocham Ro Bemare. If you're gonna get a haircut from a non-Jew, you can look in a mirror. Minakusi ain't ro bemare. But if you're getting a haircut from a kusi, you cannot look in the mirror. Okay, perish. And Tosfos says, and what the pshat? Lefisha enim chashidim al shrichos damim. Because the kusi doesn't want to kill us. So, you have no allowance to look in the mirror. What's the issue of looking in a mirror?
Feminine versus masculine.
Hitiru shal beis rabin gamlil shirom b'mare. Then the Tosefta slash Yerushalmi continues. The house of Rabin Gamliel gave an allowance, the dispensation, to look in the mirror. Perish, Avminakusi, meaning, this is Tosfos' pshat in the Tosefta, even if you're getting a haircut from a kusi. Mimnesha, I use a kukim, a machus, because they needed to look good. Mm-hmm. The house of Rabbi Gamliel had political appointments, meeting with dignitaries, and so therefore they were allowed to look in the mirror when getting a haircut. Mashma, it sounds from all this, says Tosfos, sounds like you're not allowed to look in the mirror. Sounds like a man is not allowed to look in the mirror. Venira, now I'm going to suggest the reason why. Because you're not allowed to cross-dress, says the Torah. And cross-dressing does not only mean wearing women's clothing, it also means behaving like a man's not allowed to behave like a woman, a woman's not allowed to behave like a man. The Metargim, if you look at the Targum over there on that Pasuk, Lo Yitaken Gever B'tikune Isasa. You're not allowed to put yourself together like a woman puts herself together. She does so in front of a mirror, therefore that is considered a feminine activity, and therefore it cannot be emulated by a man. A man cannot do that. V'ha D'tanya B'perek Shoa in Rowan B'mar B'Shabbos M'farsh B'gemar B'mar Shal Matechiz M'nei Sh'adam Asu La'ashir Bo Nimin Hamadu Dalos. The Gemara Shabbos says that you're not allowed to look in the mirror, and why not? Because if you look in the mirror and you'll find that maybe there's a hair that is just, you know, needs to be removed, you're going to have a Yetzirah to want to remove it. And so therefore the Gemara Shabbos says you're not allowed to look in the mirror on Shabbos. And it sounds like from that Gemara Shabbos, that's a Shabbos issue.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but during the week it's fine. Mashma dafka b'Shabbos, habachol share. So Tosfos says now, because Tosfos at this point sounds bent on the idea that looking in a mirror is prohibited for a man. So what about the Gemara and Shabbos? The Tosfos over here writes, how some b'ishayri. Yeah, that Gemara and Shabbos is talking about a woman. The Adam, and even though the Gemara and Shabbos uses the terminology of Adam, lav dafka the isha also b'chol inyan. Okay. And then he goes on. And it's just interesting, right, that Tosos engages in this discussion of, is a man allowed to look in the mirror? Okay. Now Tosos, by the way, he does not retract at all from this position. He seems pretty, he goes through the rest of Tosos, and you'll see. I don't know if this is, you know, I know the question, bottom line, is it okay, is it not okay? Right? I would say, adventure to guess that, you know, that most men look in the mirror, but Tosfos' position seems to be here very clear. Tosfos later on talks about maybe if you're looking in the mirror so you don't hurt yourself, right? In other words, while you are getting a haircut and you're not mechabel yourself, that may be okay. But just for purposes of appearance, Tosfos says not enough of a heter. Okay, see later on Tosos. Also, Tosos also has a discussion later on as well. Why is Rav Chana Bar Bizna so worried about Rav Meir's opinion? We don't paskin like Rav Meir. Rav Meir's a das yachid, right? So Tosos says towards the end also should be careful about Rav Meir's opinion. And right, it just interesting. Interesting, a lot of interesting dynamics over here. Okay, let's go on in the Gemara. Over kocham the mistaper miyisrael kemi shigilo leblori so shomet es yado v'kama amar Rav Malkia amar Rav Adarava shlosha etzbas lechol ruach. In other words, the bloris is a strip of a patch of hair that you cannot leave. Once you're within 3 inches, approximately, once you're within 3 inches of that patch of hair, you must stop. You can't cut anywhere beyond that. So in other words, if you leave a cushion of hair 3 inches around, that's acceptable. You did not give a blurist haircut.
It's considered worship, the haircut?
You're right.
For a Jew not to get the haircut, I know the
right,
is
right.
Lot.
But
I
if
understand.
You, right.
What are you
are
I don't know. In other words, I'm
what's wrong with the haircut?
I was trying to put my finger on that also. What's the isser of giving the haircut?
No, but we learned before that you're not allowed to cut the payas of your
yeah, but that's payas. That's an issue.
For a Jew.
For, right, that's payas.
Even a laundry cannot cut your payas.
Understood, but that's correct. Echad amakiv echad nika. Correct, that's correct. But over here, we're not talking about... We're talking about a guy. There's no issue of payas for him. So... Nobody you're just you're engendering avodah zara,
right?
But what
like
that
making a cross? Can you allow to make a cross?
But what's that iser?
This is for a guy.
I was anticipating that question. I'm not sure what Lifnei Iver maybe I don't know. There is.
You're not supposed to.
I don't know. Okay. Not that long ago, we saw this Gemara. The Gemara over here is just very meticulous about making sure that when we reference who said the halacha, there are two Amaraim, Rav Malkiah and Rav Malkio. And don't confuse them, which is, and it's easy to confuse them because they have basically the same name. So the halacha of Shfut, Shfachos, and Gumos, there's the three halachos. That's said by Rav Malkio, Bloris, Ephraim, Mikla, and Gvina, that's said by Rav Malkio. Okay, and for now, please forgive me, but we're not going to go through the halachas. What those six halachas are. Amar Rav Papa, Masnisa, Masnisa, Rav Malkia. Rav Papa disagrees. He says that if it's a comment on a Mishnah or on a Braisa, that's Rav Malkia with a hey. Shmaisasa, if they're independent Amoraic statements, Rav Malkia. Visimana, and how are you going to remember that? Masnisa, Malkisa. Because Braisa is king. Meaning that if you have a braisa, that's an authoritative statement, and that has supremacy. My beinayu, ika beinayu, shvachos, the Gemara points out that now if you go back and you want to see what's the difference between Rav Papa's version versus Rav Chanina's version, so shvachos is a comment on a Mishnah, and so that would be a difference between Rav Chanina versus Rav Papa. Because according to Rav Chanina, that's said by Rav Malkio. According to Rav Papa, that's not. That's a comment on the Mishnah. That's said by Rav Malkio. Okay, stop. That's the end of that subject. Okay, turn page, please. Okay, we are on Chavtes Amud Beis, and now we embark on not a new chapter, but a totally new discussion in Avodah Zarah. Okay, we are now about to start Stam Yenam, Yai Nesech, Bishal Akum. Like this is all, this big topic's coming up over here. Very halach lamaisa, very nogea topics. Gvinas akum, right? All the big stuff now of those things that are prohibited when produced, when manufactured by a non-Jew. Okay, the discussion, the overarching discussion throughout this entire Gemara is gzeira derabbanan, rabbinic decrees that were made to safeguard. We'll talk about why the safeguards were made. We're going to talk about if we know the reason why the safeguards are made and the reason no longer applies, are the gzeiras still in effect? And the answer is sometimes yes, sometimes no. And we will pinpoint when they do, when they still do apply, when they no longer apply, etc., etc. Okay? So it really a new part of the second parak of Avodah Zarah. Eilud varm shalav de kochavim, asurim v'isurim isur hana. Certain things that when manufactured by a non-Jew, they're prohibited. And not just prohibited, but you cannot get benefit from them. Yain, wine, chametz, vinegar, shalav dikochav, mishayim, mitzchilaso yain. But vinegar only if it was first wine, then soured under ownership of a kochav. Cheres Hadriani. Right? Hadrian earthenware. I'll describe it later on when we get to the Gemara. Fascinating stuff. Oris levuvin. Hearts. Hearts of an animal. Right, they in part of their idolatrous practice, they cut open the animal and they went right for the heart. Okay, Rishim Gamliel Omer Bizmanche Hakeres Shelo Agul Asur Meshurch Muter. Take a look at the kara. Take a look at how it was ripped out. If a circular cut versus a single incision. Basar nichlas avodas kochavim muter vayotze aser. Meat that is going to avodas kochavim is permissible. That meat that's coming out is going to be prohibited. Mimneshu kizivchei mesim divrei Rabbi Akiva, because that's divrei mesim. Again, every one of these lines of the Mishnah will be discussed in detail in the Gemara. So just stay tuned. Haochin latarfus, if you're going to go to the fair of avodah zara, also lasis, and maybe you can't do business with them. Habaim, however, the coming out, mutam, that's permissible. Again, this harks back to our first parak discussion. Notice of the kochavim, the kankaneim, the yanshal yisrael, kenos behem, asurin v'isurin isurina, divra meir. If you have flasks used by non-Jews, so according to Rav Meir, they're aser, and you can't even not even get benefit from them. Chachamim omrim, ein isurim isurina, and the chachamim say no, not prohibited to get benefit from. Again, Gemara later on will discuss what's going on over there. Chartzanim v'zagin, residue after they made wine, you're left with seeds and skins. Sha'ovdi kocham masturim v'isturin isur hana divramer. Again, Rav Meir says that those are prohibited to get benefit from. V'chachamim omrim lachim masturim yaveshim mutarim. Depends if they're dry or if they're moist. If they're dry, I'm sorry, if they're moist, they're asur. If they're dry, they're going to be mutar. Again, wait, stay tuned for more discussion. Hamurias v'gvinos beis unai kishavde kochavim asur v'isur isurana divra meir. Rameir says that the cheese produced by goyim are prohibited behana, can't get benefit from them. V'chachamim omrim ein isur isur hana. Chachamim say no, it's not asur behana, it's asur ba'achila, but not asur behana. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda. Okay, Shal Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yoshua. Kishayim ma'achim b'derech amrlam imnei ma'asur gvinas of dekochavim. In the Mishnah over here, we're going to have a dialogue, and the dialogue is between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel asks Rabbi Yoshua. They're walking on the way, and the discussion turned to the following: Why did they meaning the chachamim? Why did they prohibit cheese? Cheese manufactured by non-Jew. What's wrong? Cheese, right? What's wrong with that? Amalom mimneshim amidim osto bekeva shal nevelos. So the Gemara says, well, you know where they manufacture it? They manufacture it inside the stomach of a nevela. Again, there are four stomachs of a ruminating animal. The keva is the fourth stomach. Okay. And in this stomach, there are enzymes, so that what they did is they took the stomach out and they kept the stomach whole, and they would put milk in the stomach, and that milk would curdle through the enzymes and turn into cheese. And the Gemara says, and that's why. And that's why you can't, because it's manufactured inside the stomach of the animal.
Is this rennet?
Right. Amar lo v'halo kevas ola chamur mekevas nevela, and the answer did not satisfy Rabbi Shmuel. He says, so what? That's peres ba'alma. That's just waste. That's not a product of the stomach. It's a waste product. And that stuff, anyone who has the right, no pun intended, anyone who has the stomach to eat it can eat it. It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. Amru, in fact, kohen shadato yafes torah folchaya. Right, you have a carbon ola. Now, carbon ola is totally burnt on the mizbeach. Every part of the animal, right, the meat, the limbs, everything. Everything is burnt on the mizbeach. If you have a kohen who is not fastidious, who's not squeamish, if he wants to, can't imagine why. But if he wants to, he can open up the keva of the carbon ola, right, this stomach, and if he wants to, he can eat the contents of the keva.
Contents of the stomach.
Huh?
Contents of the stomach.
Contents of the stomach.
What does that have to do with?
It just means an ola has to be burned on the mizbeach.
I mean,
nobody is allowed to eat any part of the carbon ola, period. And meanwhile, a Kohen, if he feels hungry, if he wants to, he can help himself to the contents of the stomach. Because the contents of the stomach is not considered part of the animal. It's perish ba'alma. It's a waste product.
But what does that have to do with this?
It means that you can have something which is prohibited, totally prohibited, and whatever is manufactured in the stomach is fine.
Yeah, but there's a different principle involved with the goyim than all of that.
Let me just finish this up. V'lo hodu lo. Ava amru einen v'lo mal. Now, they didn't agree, and they said that that's prohibited, but as Rashi points out over here, rabbinically prohibited. Every Rashi says, every time you see the words Einan v'la mo'alin, it means that there's a rabbinic prohibition. You shouldn't get benefit from it, but there's no Isser Me'ilah. Okay, there is however, a common denominator that which is in the stomach is perish ba'alma. It's just waste product, that's all it is. So the cheese, so what? So what is produced in the stomach? So he gives a second answer. But not satisfied with the first answer. And the second answer is, well, it's produced the igle avodas kochavim in the stomach of the calves that are used for avodah zarah. Wait a second. Oh, that's true. So then there should be an Isra Anah. Tarkovas Avodah Zarah. Mm-hmm. Right? Once you throw out the Avodah Zarah term, that's it. That's the Brana. He sealed the Davar Ach. Let's change the topic of conversation. Right? Let's change the topic of conversation. Amar lo Yishmal hechata korea kitovim dodayach. Miyain o kitovim dodecha. Okay, to change topic of conversation. It's the Pasuk in Shir Hashirim. The Pasuk in Shir Hashirim, how do we read it? Kitovim dodecha, or kitovim dodayach. Masculine or feminine? If it's masculine, it's talking about God. Right? Shir Hashirim is a metaphor. Right? Dodecha, like, literally is talking about the chest of a woman, but obviously this is a metaphor. If we read in the masculine, it's talking about Hashem. If we read in the feminine, it's talking about Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, which is feminine. Amalo, kitovim dodayach. It's talking about Klal Knesset Yisrael. Amalo, eina davar ken sharei chaver melamed alav lereach shmanecha tovim. No, because if you read on the pasuk is masculine. Shmanecha. So kishmanecha lereach shmanecha tovim. It's not feminine. It's masculine. Oh, you're wrong. Okay, now that's in other words, change topic of conversation. Meaning, you asked me a question. Why is cheese of a non-Jew aser? I gave you one reason, you didn't buy it. I gave you a second reason, you didn't buy it. Okay, let's change the topic. Okay. All we did so far today is we just read through the Mishnah. I gave you a simple pshat in the Mishnah. Every line of the Mishnah is going to be analyzed, dissected by the Gemara. There's much to discuss, right? And obviously the overarching theme of the Mishnah is you may not know the real reason why the cheese of processed and manufactured by non-Jew is usher. We could just simply right now call it Gzera de Rabbanan. It's a rabbinic decree, and we'll discuss more of that as we go on. Okay, everyone, please have an easy fast today. Rabbi Hananya ben Akash.